So if I gave you a priceless item, what would you do with it? All these answers are perfectly fine, right? Some of you would want to sell it. Some of you are kind of treasuring it. The route we're actually going to go with is what Ryan said, and that is protect it. Protect it. He didn't. Ryan did not look at the notes. He's got them there. He did not, but that's where we're going. He promises. We'll let Jesus be the judge of that later. But if you have something priceless, it might be important to protect it. If something has value or something is important, something is meaningful, you want to protect it. We have meaning, we have value to God. The church God is building, this church and the church worldwide, has value and meaning to him. And as he builds those, he also protects them. So very simply today, think about this. What God builds, God will protect. And protection is our brick today. We are in week four of our brick by brick series on the book of Nehemiah. Each week, we're pulling out a central theme that we're calling a brick, in which God uses to build us as followers of him, but also how he builds his church. And like I said, today will be protection. So let's recap real quick. First few weeks, if you weren't with us and aren't familiar with Nehemiah, we have this fellow named Nehemiah. He was cupbearer to the king. Well, he found out that the wall that was around Jerusalem was destroyed and in ruins. And this really burdened him. It made him really upset to the point where he's like, man, I got to do something about it. So he asks the king for permission to go rebuild the wall. And the king grants this permission, gave Nehemiah some resources to go act on the conviction he had to help. And Nehemiah starts the rebuild. And he gets all kinds of people involved. Last week when Pastor Corey from Cultivation was here, you heard all these different names of the people that helped build. But today, we're going to hear how other people in the area weren't so thrilled with the fact that this rebuild is going on, right? And the fact that Nehemiah is going to realize, hey, we need protection. The wall needs to be protected. So that's what we're going to look at today. In Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we will be. We'll break it into three parts today. Ryan will have the scripture up here on the screens to follow along. It's bookmarked in the Bibles on your tables if you want to follow along that way. Phones, tablets, computers, all great. I will be in the NIV translation. So we're going to start Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 9, and it says this. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. We will stop there. So here's what happens. We got Sanballat comes back. Sanballat's kind of the chief opponent of Nehemiah, and he's back. And he's more upset than he's letting on with the rebuilding of the wall. So he ridicules the Jews. He stirs them up, tries to make them feel bad. And he does it in the presence of his army. Like, his boys are all around him. But he's got Tobiah, another high-ranking official, with him as well. So he's surrounded by other people, and he poses a string of rhetorical questions. And it's meant to make the Jews feel like what they're doing is just stupid. It's worthless. It's not going to do anything. Now, he's being mean. He's being a bully. But his words hurt. They have impact. So Nehemiah prays protection over the Jews from these words. He says, "God, turn the words back on them. Give them over as plunder in a land that's held captive. God, don't forget what they've been saying. Hold them accountable for it. God, we're doing this for you. Protect us." See, Nehemiah used words, but words directed to God, not at his opponents. He didn't lash out. He lifted his voice to God. And God's protecting them. They continue to rebuild the wall, but it's not over. So now we have the opposition forces of Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Ammonites. They're joined by another group, the Ashdodites. This is a group from the west of Jerusalem, so now they're just even more surrounded all around them. And these guys are all ready to fight. They're ready to stir it up. Nehemiah again prays, doesn't stop praying protection over the people and the project they're taking on for God. This prayer is a covering. We hear something similar in Acts 4, 23 to 31. Peter and John, they had been brought in before the high priest and the leaders in the council, because these guys wanted Peter and John to stop preaching the gospel and healing people and sharing the message. Once they were released from this, they went back to the other apostles and they prayed. They also prayed protection. Some of that passage says, God, hear the threats against us and give us boldness. They're asking again for protection. God, cover us with protection against what we're coming up against. Prayer is like this protective covering. So if I give you that priceless item and you're going to protect it, like Ryan says, one of the cool ways to protect it, one of my favorite ways, bubble wrap. Who doesn't love bubble wrap, right? One of the best ways to do it. It's fun even when you're not wrapping something in it. Kids love it, right? But did you know bubble wrap was invented by accident? They didn't try to invent it. Back in 1957, Alfred Fielding and Mark Chavanet, a Swiss chemist, were trying to invent actually textured wallpaper. And this is all according to Smithsonian Magazine. So what they did is they put two pieces of plastic shower curtain together, put it through a heat sealing machine. But what came out was a sheet with a bunch of bubbles trapped in it. And they tried to use it in greenhouses and all these other ways. And they're like, man, nothing's really working. Until 1961, IBM needed to protect its 1401 unit, which was new and it was awesome at the time. It needed to be transported. Bubble wrap. That's what they used. Now the rest, as they say, would be history. Bubble wrap has been used to cover and protect things for decades. Prayer is like our bubble wrap, okay? It provides our protection. It covers us. If you've heard people, I have, people ask to be covered in prayer for things, missions, trips, surgeries, events, whatever is going on. It's a bubble or it's a blanket that you're just covered by and protected. Everything is still around you, but the prayer covers you. It's protection from God through prayer. What's important to note is that seeing prayer as protection, it's not hiding from what's around you, right? You're not laying in bed like pulling the blanket all over your head saying like nothing's happening. But it's more like that secure, comforting, like weighted blanket that you're like, I know it's there. I love my weighted blanket. You know it's there. It's covering you. It's protecting you. But everything's still around. All right? And what it does is prayer helps us respond, not react. Prayer helps us respond, not react. See, reactions easily get us into trouble. As an athlete, you're taught like if somebody says something to you or like kind of pushes you in a nasty way to not react right there in the moment, because that's what gets seen and that's what gets you into trouble. You want to wait. Right? So ever have something hurtful happen to you or somebody ridicules you, you get made fun of, and you react right away. It's like, I'm going to fire back at them. Or I'm just going to run away and quit. Or I go into full-blown panic mode, go down the rabbit hole of how terrible everything is. Those reactions happen, but what we want to do is if we're ridiculed or come up against is to respond well and respond calmly, not reacting in a poor way. Reactions tend to be motivated by emotion, and we lash out or speak poorly, but they don't reflect God well. Prayer protects us from that and helps us respond well. So reach out to God before reacting or responding. And be specific. What do you need protection from? What's coming around you? What do you see? What's beating you down? What's making you nervous? Come to God as a first line of defense, not a last resort, because he will protect you. And part of that protection from prayer is peace. Sometimes he's got to get it all out there because you're all jumbled up and you put it out there, right? And after that, you just kind of feel calm. You feel better. Prayer brings that peace. We just let it out to God. God, this is coming at me. This is scary. This makes me nervous. I don't know what to do with all this. You get it out to God and then feel his peace. It helps us avoid being defensive, and we can calmly look at what's going on around us and then respond in a Christ-like way. That might mean responding with still a firm biblical truth and standing for what you're supposed to do. That's what Nehemiah did. He was not about to back down. Notice, though, standing for truth, not attacking the opposition, but standing on the truth God has given. It might mean a silent response. Maybe the response is, I don't need to respond to this. I don't need to say anything. We don't always have to. But when we pray, we are protected, and God leads us to how we should respond like Christ. Nehemiah prayed, and God protected them. Let's keep going to Nehemiah. This is chapter 4, verses 10 to 15. It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and daughters, your wives, and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. We'll stop there. So the opposition now turns actually a little more inward, becomes inside of them, because the workers are feeling it. It says their strength is giving out. This is the image of someone like literally tottering with the weight of what they're carrying. They're rebuilding a wall, right? And with the lack of technology they had back in that day, this would not be an easy thing to do. So they're tired. They're exhausted. And on top of that, you got all these other groups taunting them and threatening to hurt or kill them. The doubt creeps in. Like, can we do this? Can we finish it? Is it even worth it? But Nehemiah, a total man of faith in God, knows they need strength now. So what he does is he posts some guards at the lowest and most vulnerable parts of the wall for protection, a show of strength. Then he says to everyone, remember who God is. Remember it's him we're doing this for. He will give us strength. He will give us protection when we don't have it ourselves. Fight for God. Fight for your families with the strength of the Lord. And this is a multi-directional appeal from Nehemiah, right? He says, God's the one up above you. Fight for him. But your family's right in front of you. Fight for them as well with the strength of the Lord. God protected them by giving them strength when they needed it, no matter what was going on around them. Listen to Psalm 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. If the earth gives way and the mountains fall, the waters roar and the mountains quake. God will be the refuge and the strength. God will be the strength for the psalmist to keep going when everything around him may tell him to quit or run away. It's too much. It's too scary. But God protects by providing strength and being a place of refuge. We had a lot of storms come through here a few weeks ago. Everybody around here kind of remembers. We had a big like branch from our neighbor's yard kind of come down over our fence line. And on Tuesday, the kids and I went outside to get it all cut up and taken to the curb. And they both did awesome. And they got to use different tools. So Jeremiah has this big pole saw that he's like cutting it up with and doing all this. And Joella had what amounts to this giant like clippers. So she was going at a big branch at one point. And she's got the clippers, but she was holding it down really close to the blade and trying to cut it. And she couldn't do it. I'm like, Joella, you got to move your hands back out here because it'll give you some more force, give you some more strength in it. And then she does it and she gets her little determined face and finally cuts the branch and she flexes the muscles like she does in the picture. She's a tough one, that six-year-old. But she was able to do it. She just needed that extra strength from how she got from moving her hands on there. God's strength is our protection. See, God's strength protects us from ourselves. And not ourselves in the sense like we might act recklessly or hurt ourselves, but in the sense that our hearts and our minds say, quit, stop. This isn't worth it anymore. Right? Internally, we just want to stop whatever God's called us to do. Now, if this has happened to you or is happening, I get it. It's very real. You're not doing anything wrong by just feeling it because it happens. I've talked to numerous pastors. I've experienced myself those times of being like, man, this is hard. This is really hard. And something in there says, I should be done. Why? But see, if we hold to that, we let that take over, it deters us from following God. It's in those moments that I know I desperately need the strength of God to keep me going because I have nothing left. But the cool thing is, when my strength runs out, God's just grows and grows and grows. It just keeps getting more. It's like this jolt of caffeine or like a shot to the system that's like, okay, keep going. He's protecting me. He's protecting you from the lie that says quit. God's a lot of things, but a quitter isn't one of them. He's not, I'm going to go 75% of the way and say I'm done. And he doesn't want you to quit either. And his strength protects us from quitting. His strength helps us see challenges just as obstacles to overcome and not barriers we can't cross. Think about it. If you're following God, you're doing something, everything's going really well. Then you get to a point where you realize, man, I missed a step back here. I got to backtrack. I got to go backwards. I hate having to go backwards. I like efficiency. I like things in order. I like structure. Sometimes we got to go back. But if we sit with the strength of God in this, we can see going back as God's strength is just an obstacle we can overcome. But if we're trying to rely on our own strength, now it becomes a barrier. It's this bridge. We can't get across it. We can't get past it because we don't want to go backwards. Keep going with the strength of God. It's okay to admit when you feel weak. It's okay to admit you feel exhausted. It's okay to admit that you are stressed. And there are absolutely times to rest and to recharge and to put things down. I'm not ignoring that. But there are times when we're exhausted, when we're stressed, we're like, man, I think it's too much, where we have to come to the feet of Jesus on our knees because we can't stand and just say, God, I'm coming to you in my weakness. I need your strength. Help me push forward, keep going, and finish the assignment you have given me. And God will always give that strength if you keep coming to him for it. There's a song by the artist Brandon Lake called Don't You Give Up On Me. And it's written as God saying to us, don't give up on me. There's a line that says, I'll be your way when there's no way out. I'll be your strength when your strength runs out. And if you walk into the fire, I'll be right there in the flames. I wouldn't have it any other way. God doesn't give up on us. So don't give up on God being able to be your strength. Let that strength protect you from the lies that say you should quit. You should run away. You should give up. No, those are lies. Let the strength of God carry you through that. Psalm 46 that we read earlier also says God's a refuge. Refuge is biblically like a safe haven or a secure shelter, a place of protection from harm or spiritual ruin. God's presence is our refuge. It's a shelter. It's our safe haven. Run to it. Run to the presence and into the arms of the loving Father that we have who will keep us safe and protected. Because it protects us from the noise and the words all around us, the words that tell us to quit and tell us what we're doing isn't worth it, the words that are mean to us. It protects us from the posts and the tweets and the TikToks and the whatever that tell us, hey, find a quick fix here. Don't look for refuge in God, find it here. But refuge with God says, stay with me, I'll be your strength. I'll be your safety. So go to God for refuge, go to God for strength. His strength and his presence of refuge protect us. Let's finish Nehemiah chapter 4 here, starting in verse 16. It says, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind the wall of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who surrounded who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears, from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers, my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when we went for water. So Nehemiah now makes a more practical move. He prepares. He prepares for a potential attack or threat. He's got half the men working and half the men acting as what amounts to security. And even those working, they're ready for attack, right? Materials in one hand, weapon in the other. Nehemiah has them prepared. And he prepares them and lays out what to do if they're attacked. We're going to join forces wherever it is, and we'll fight the attack together. And they'll know where that is because of the sound of the trumpet. That's the signal. And finally, Nehemiah prepares for the next day's work by protecting the completed work. It says what happens is the people worked until the stars came out. Usually in this day, they would work till sundown. But they're going to work even later. And then Nehemiah says, we're working that late. We're all going to stay inside the walls. Don't leave the day's work unguarded. They didn't want that to have happen. Hey, we built this area, the wall, and at night while we're sleeping, we're gone. It gets destroyed by somebody. So they all plan to stay in Jerusalem. And that includes Nehemiah himself. He may have been the leader, but he stayed ready for anything, ready to jump into action, whatever was needed. They were protected by being prepared. The rule they had was constantly being prepared for anything. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be alert, be of sober mind. Peter cautions his readers, there's opposition, there's danger, there are traps all around you. Be prepared. Know that they're there waiting for you. Being prepared is part of being protected. How do you prepare for stuff? Let's imagine for a little bit, it's summer. You get to go on a nice vacation, 7 to 10 days. You're going away. When do you start packing? When do you start packing? Some of you might week, 10 days in advance, start laying everything out. I need all this kind of stuff. We got a big list, like lay out all the outfits, lay out all the stuff you need to bring, bam, 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 bam. It's all organized there. Pack it all neatly in the suitcase the day before. Some of you might be in the camp of, I got to leave in 25 minutes. All right, let's just empty out the closet. Let's chuck it into the box and maybe it fits in the suitcase. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's all jumbled. Who knows, right? I'm an advanced guy. I like to know, right? Like, I like to kind of have a moderately neater suitcase. Probably not that neat, but not that bad either. We went to North Carolina last weekend for a wedding. We were laying our stuff out ahead of time, making sure I got, you know, the suit for officiating the wedding and the dinner stuff and the headphones and all the stuff. I would forget something if I didn't prepare, right? I'm not a last minute. Preparation really does help, and it actually protects us as we are following God. Be prepared as you follow what God has called you to do. Let God help you prepare for what he's called you to do and what may come. Involve God in every step of what you're doing. Don't cut him out of the picture. Don't be like, okay, I know God's called me to this big picture thing over here. You're here and be like, okay, I'm here. I know I got to get to here. God, I'll see you when I get there. I'll just do it myself. Keep him involved every single step. Prepare with God. Be locked into his presence every step of the way. Because then when you need to pivot, when you need to deflect something coming at you, you have the confidence to do so and stay true to God. Preparation helps protect us from getting knocked off track when things don't go as planned, right? Preparation is like, it's like getting into that low stance. You anchor yourself here. Your head's kind of on the swivel. You know what's coming on around you versus kind of being on one foot and not knowing what's coming and getting knocked off. We want to be prepared and anchored in Jesus so we don't get knocked off track. You might get hit, but we don't get knocked off. Preparation builds trust. Trust that God isn't distant, that God cares about the big and small pieces of his plan. See God at work every step of the way and trust him to guide you every step of the way. Preparing and building trust protects us from trying to go our own direction. And preparation helps effectiveness. If you are supposed to share Jesus, you know God's like, share Jesus with that person. You need to talk about Jesus with them. Pray and ask God for the words in advance. Get into scripture and see, man, how could I share the gospel? How did they share it? Be clear about what you're going to say because it helps you be more effective. And then in the moment, if the Holy Spirit leads you in a different direction, you're confident in going that way because you've been locked into God's presence and direction. Preparation doesn't mean you aren't being led by the Spirit, not at all. It's actually being led by the Holy Spirit throughout the whole process. And at the end of the day, yes, God's going to move how God's going to move. But being prepared helps our effectiveness. And preparation can also be getting others involved. Share what God has put on your heart to do. Others then might have a different role in helping you, right? Nehemiah even said, half the men were holding spears, the other half worked. Is preparation giving people different roles and it helped protect them? And prepare spiritually. Prayer, scripture, solitude, all those spiritual disciplines that we talk about most weeks here, they help prepare ourselves. Spiritual preparation is actually spiritual protection. And today, think about your spiritual preparation as something we can do in community and with each other. Talk about your relationship with God with each other. Grow your relationship with God with each other. Pray for each other wholeheartedly. Lift each other up in scripture. Get into the Bible and chop up scripture together. Talk about it. Prepare in community. See, God's given us each other. God's given Christian community. Use that as a means of preparation and protection as you follow God. We can always be preparing ourselves spiritually, and it's powerful and effective when we do it together. Because when I start to slip, someone can help me get back on track. Protects my spiritual life and my spiritual readiness. Spiritual protection comes from God, but shows itself in the form of the Christian community. It protects us. Remember that protection is that brick that God uses to build. God builds us like the wall, and he doesn't want it to be knocked down or destroyed, so he protects us. The same goes for his church, both locally and worldwide. He builds it, and he wants it to stand strong on him, so he protects it, and we'll wrap up here. We take in his protection, and we accept it through prayer. It's the blanket, it's the bubble wrap that covers us in the midst of everything. And it helps us respond well rather than react poorly. And remember that prayer also brings God's peace. That peace that protects our hearts when everything around us is crazy. And that protection comes in God's strength. It's okay to feel weak, to feel exhausted, to feel stressed. And even that nudge that's telling you to quit. But God's strength keeps us going. When our strength and energy ends, God just keeps going. So rely on his strength. Go to him for refuge. Go to God and not somewhere else for safety and protection. Other things may try and offer you refuge, but God's presence and his open arms are the best place of refuge. And prepare. God protects us by helping us prepare, being aware of what's going around us so we're not easily knocked off track. Prepare and do it in community. We are not made to be alone. So as you prepare to walk out your calling from God, prepare with each other. God gave us each other. One of the reasons is we're protected in Christ-like community. God's still building us. God's still building his church. He always will be. And what God builds, he will protect. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you what we can learn from Nehemiah today, God, about protection. And God, as we sang earlier, that when we feel like we're surrounded, we're really surrounded by you. That you are a blanket, you are a covering of protection. God, through prayer, through your strength, through preparing, God, that you want to protect us, you will protect us. God, that we can go confidently to whatever you've called us to do, knowing that you're with us, you're beside us, and that you're protecting us. So God, I pray that we would all confidently walk out whatever it is you're leading us to do. And God, that we would rely on you for protection. We would come to you constantly to be prepared and to be covered by you. God, I pray that's something we would remember daily as we walk out our lives with you. In your name, amen.